Yo, what's good, everybody? This is your man, Brian Strickland, with the Homegrown Community Podcast. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to this 2021 episode, the first episode of the new year for us. Man, we appreciate your patience. We've been away for a couple months just recalibrating and resetting the energy for what's going to be an exciting year. So this is the first episode for the year 2021 of the Homegrown Community Podcast. Let's go.
Welcome to the Homegrown Community Podcast. You know, this is new year, new beginning for us, man. You know what I'm saying? It's your man, Brian Strickland, a.k.a. B. Strick, a.k.a. Born, along with my man, my main man, my co-host here, Tumani Johnson, a.k.a. TJ, a.k.a. T Money. And this broadcast is brought to you by TMG, The Mind Group, FX Media, and Action Graphics. And what's good, T? How you feeling, man?
Feeling great, man. You know what I mean? Excited to be back on the Homegrown Community Podcast. We're going to continue broadcasting and sending programming of this podcast out to the people because the people wanted it.
That's facts.
Started it last year and people just responded. They're like, where you guys been?
That's facts. You know what I
mean? So we're back. It's 2021 and I'm excited to be here, man. So.
Yeah. Me too, man. Me too. And, that doesn't go without recognizing some people that, that checked up on us and obviously want to thank you, because, you know, you were one of the original seed sowers, you know, to get me to open up and speak out. And, obviously want to give a shout out to my man, Dwayne Meekins down in Charlotte, owner of Game Truck, you know, native of High Point, you know, one of my men with TMG on the advisory committee, you know, my homegirl Shelly, you know, these people had encouraged me to think about using my influence in a different way. And, you know, I can't say thank you enough to the people that that believed in me and encouraged me to take a step in this direction. And like I told you before, man, I wasn't going to do this if you weren't with me. Yeah. So, you know, things coming full circle, new year, our first podcast for 2021. You're absolutely right. There were some people that inquired about, you know, what the HAPS was and what we were doing. And one of them I got to give a special shout out to is Melody Burnett with the High Point Convention and Visitors Bureau. You know, she's been a supporter of the Mind Group and our efforts to help change the narrative about our city. And in some ways, you know, kind of change the culture in terms of racial equity and inclusion.
Bridge the gaps.
And exactly. Mend those breaches and bridge those gaps. So definitely want to give a shout out to Melody. She asks about like how we even got started with this. Mm-hmm. So I began to tell her and she told me how much she enjoyed the podcast, particularly the episode with Donovan on there when we brought him on and the opportunity to connect with the youth, you know. Yes. And tell people about the podcast and mention some things that we're doing to an audience of people that we might not have immediate access to.
Right.
So what about you, man? You know, what's been going on in terms of what you've been processing since our last episode, which I think was early November, right before election.
Right before election. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
First off, I want to thank you too for, you know, allowing this platform to be, because I mean, I couldn't do it by myself either. You know what I mean? As far as like getting this message out there or just even doing, you know, my background being in media production, you know, and I've done podcasts in the past, either with school or with other organizations and other people. And, you know what I mean? So this is a medium that I love. Mm-hmm. And just to be here with you is great. So, but tell me, I think it would be important for you to tell the people, maybe possibly some new listeners, some new viewers, just a little background of what TMG is and what TMG is about and what it represents and how it all ties into the podcast.
All right, facts. So, TMG is a short acronym for the Mind Group. And the Mind Group is spelled out capital MIND, which stands for Moving in a New Direction. So, you know, it's a nonprofit organization that specializes in community outreach and youth development programs, planning and consulting. This happens to be a program. And what we're all about is just fostering a healthy community and developing youth. And we've done a series of things leading up to leading up to where we are right now, which include sports and education programs, special events such as Unity Festival, Back to Basics tournament, you know, basketball tournaments and things like that, block parties. You know, we got our hands in a few pots, you know, to stir in regards to events planning and management, which help with promotion. But what brought us where we are right now in terms of TMG and being involved in media comes twofold. One, it does come with a layer of experience for myself being in music and entertainment, as well as broadcast programming through, you know, being a former audiovisual director at a mega church in the area, Word of Life Ministries, and serving as audiovisual director for Pastor Ronald Diggs, and having some experience, you know, taping weekly broadcasts, you know, that gave me a good 5, 6, 7 years of experience, you know, in programming. So, you know, so I pivoted and then moved into a different direction as far as career choice, but I still maintain that level of experience and I appreciate it. And then just moving forward with the outreach consulting and programs and planning, you know, that just took on a different ebb and flow of its own. But it wasn't until you hit me up middle of last year and was like, yo, B, no, matter of fact, it was early last year before
it was
we
beginning
even started.
Of the year. Yeah,
beginning
absolutely.
Of the year. That's right. Yeah. Matter of fact, about this time last year,
yeah.
You was like, you know, you might want to think of adding, you know, multimedia to your brand to help with promotion and getting your message out. And at that time, you know, I knew there were some limitations in terms of what I could do by myself when it came to media, when it came to production, technical equipment, you know, manpower and brain trust, you know, there was going to be some things that I was going to face some limitations. And then it wasn't until you pledged support with your media company to help move, you know, the brand of TMG forward as far as branding and promotion. And this is where we are now, you know, with a dope little podcast, man. It just came on the strength of an idea and some encouragement from some people that believed in me.
Yeah.
And I can't thank you guys enough for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of like, you know, the journey, if you will.
Yeah. I know the
short
words.
Yeah. Right. Right. Okay. There you go. You know it.
Those folks who don't know. You
right.
Know, they get a little backstory, a little background of where we, how we got here. So that's important.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool, man. It's cool. You know, we incorporated in 2014, but we registered with the state. We officially incorporated with the federal government in 2014, but we registered with the state as a nonprofit in 2013. So that was my pivot from working in corporate finance when I was out at Bank of America, and I was involved in the Community of Volunteers Network, and you know, real active with the youth, always been when I was, you know, youth night instructor, Sunday school teacher, you know what I mean? Coach, youth activist, advocate, you know what I mean? I always been involved with the youth because that's just my call, you know, that's my passion.
Yeah.
And, you know, having an opportunity to move into that, you know, full time is like going into ministry. You know what I'm saying? I get where people come from when they follow their heart, they follow us, you know, what they're being led to do, their call, if you will. Right. I just felt like that this was like my call to the city of High Point, to the communities at large, to look at ways that we could reinvest in our communities at the more local, you know, at a local level, and look at ways to foster those desires in our youth to want to do things and pay it forward to the next generation.
Yeah.
So what can I say, man? I'm blessed to be here, blessed to be alive. We got out of 2020, thank God.
Yes.
You know, we took a couple hits, some bumps and rolls, and it's funny, man, it's, you know, just to think and look back on it. Well, everything that was involved associated with 2020, and then coming into 2021, we're still in a pandemic and we're still dealing with stuff, you know, on a macro and micro level. So that's what we're going to get into today, bro.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll start with just saying that this is going to be an interesting show because I had a conversation with one of my trusted colleagues. And they were encouraging us to continue to move forward with the podcast. And we got some people that's watching us and that's promoting us and supporting what we're doing. And in describing how she felt about the podcast, she was very, what's the word, encouraged by the fact that we can talk about just about anything, you know, and we can deliver a message in a way that may be uncomfortable to talk about, but we have a comfortable way of making people uncomfortable. And it's weird, right? Because, you know, you don't want to, it's like an oxymoron, because, you know, some of the things that we were talking about the last time before, you know, we closed out and pivoted getting ready for this year, we're still here. We're still talking about those things: voter registration, voter participation, voter education, voter suppression, mm-hmm. black and white race relations in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. Something that is very difficult to digest at times, because it does require us confronting some of the ills of the past, but it's necessary based on where we are right now in this condition and the climate of our country right now.
Here's the metaphor that I want to share with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's an elephant in the room, and there's also a fire that just sparked in the room, but the elephant is blocking the door. So if we don't talk about this elephant that's in the room, we're stuck in this room and we're going to burn down.
We're going to burn up.
You know what I mean? So we need to address this elephant in the room. And I think this platform, this podcast provides that platform where we can talk about the real issues that's affecting our community, which is the room that we all reside in. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And there are fires happening as we speak.
That's real, man. And you know, I'm gonna pick up from where we left off, you know, and that was like around the first week in November. We pumped the brakes for the remainder because we knew we were getting into the election and we were trying to plan for 2021 and
holiday
season and all that stuff. And we were like, look, man, let's just take some time off. Let's get with our families. Let's recalibrate, reset, come back into this thing and see what we got for 2021. Shake up our priority list, see where we stack them and rank them, and then just move on out, you know, when the time is right. So moving into this podcast, I was not expecting to be talking about the riot on the Capitol in D.C., a pandemic that we're still dealing with, and an election that has been contested and contentious along the way. Mm. And if you recall, before we left for the remainder of 2020, we were on the subject of voter registration and participation. And we had an event to encourage people to come out. You know, we had some, you know, quite a few folks, man, to come out and show love for that event and talk about why it's important from their perspective to vote. Remember, we started Perspectives at that time, right? Yes. And voting was one of the things that we were talking about. We were talking about changing up the landscape in High Point and creating more diversity and inclusion in downtown to support more foot traffic, more African-American and minority businesses, things like that. So we have this election, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, you know what? This stuff ain't going to worry me. The things that impact us the most are those decisions that are made at a community level anyway. So we got to invest more in our local government, our state government. And we obviously know that leads up to the macro level of, you know, federal government and federal legislation. But I just wasn't going to let the stress, you know, get to me. It's just enough to contend with all this other rhetoric and division that's associated with politics. Right. So election plays out, me and my wife watching TV and everything. And we're like, you know what? It's time to go to bed because they ain't going to have this thing counted, you know, overnight. No way. And the way it's looking, you know, it looked like, you know, your man going to stay in there. Yeah. And I was like, all right, you know, for whatever it's worth, let's saddle up and ride. Ain't going to stop us from doing what we got to do. Mm-hmm. And then before you know it, we wake up the next day and it was like, yo, we got a boatload of ballots coming in from these major cities. And then they start running off the city. They said Atlanta, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Detroit, Pittsburgh, cities that's, you know, heavily populated with, you know, with African American, right? And minorities and Hispanics, you know? So I'm like, wait. So they still counting these ballots, and how many they say they got outstanding? Oh, wow. And what's the margin right now? Oh, wow. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
So, how long was I asleep?
Right. What did I miss? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So they start breaking down the numbers, right? So I'm thinking to myself, wait. So Bloody actually might do this? I'm like, wow, this is going to be interesting. So time progresses. And then they start saying, you know, over the next several days that, you know, Joe Biden was the, you know, projected winner. They start projecting things, right? Because you don't quite know because you still got ballots to count. And they say they ain't going to make no decision till all ballots are counted. Right. Facts. Do that. Right. But the way the numbers are looking and the way the math is shaking out, all roads are leading to.
Mm-hmm.
I say that because if you just fast forward a little bit to when the president-elect was announced the winner by the Electoral College, there's some things started shaking up where, you know, protests about fraudulent election, you know, shenanigans in the counting process, you know, hands in the pot, you know, tweaking the numbers and things like that. So they look like this really happened. But in reality, you know, these people was, you know, they were either ineligible or they manipulated the system or they did something that didn't quite, you know, honor the process. So then I start thinking, hold up. Voter fraud is interpreted. Now, I'm only speak as an African-American male because I can only speak from that perspective. Sure. Can't come from no other vein. But what I hear when people start saying voter fraud, I hear suppression, voter suppression. I hear voter intimidation. I hear prejudice and racism. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel that because what they said was the only way that your man could have won was that, you know, he would have had to cheat. But what you're saying is he only cheated with the African American vote. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because that's what was outstanding. And right. That's what was still left to be counted in these large metropolitan cities that are heavily populated by Black people.
Right.
So yeah. I'm like, wait a minute, now this sounds like dog whistle talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna turn it over to you because I want to get your thoughts on how you've processed the last several months. What were your thoughts on the whole cycle of elections and the process that took place, even up until the runoff? Because if you think about that, you know, the numbers were shaken out to where we could see who the projected winner was about to be because of the outstanding voter count,
mm-hmm.
right? But then they had this runoff where in Georgia, you know, you had two Senate races where now it looks like not only can this thing be like a victory, but it can be a decisive win, mm-hmm. you know, if the Georgia Senate runoff, you know, starts to shape up into, you know, into the certain political parties' hands.
Mm-hmm.
And then that on top of all the other stuff that went down really led me to a place where I was like, man, in 2020 and 2021, we are still talking about voter suppression and voter intimidation.
Yeah.
And we knew it, but mm-hmm. it really came out in the wash, particularly in this last cycle, because of some of the rhetoric mm-hmm. that was coming out front and center. Some things we know the undertone was like, yeah, we know, but we still going to go to the polls anyway, because you can't tell us what to do. We want to participate. It's American right.
Right.
But it started to become a little more obvious that people were upset, that a certain population of people were upset because of the participation numbers among African Americans. What do you say to that?
I we can probably go back to, I don't know which episode, but I know we had this conversation going into, you know, pre-election. And I kind of silently predicted it. You know what I mean? I knew there was going to be some funny business. It wasn't going to be a smooth ride. I knew it wasn't going to be.
I remember.
Just from the jump, just from the parties involved, just from the climate, just from the rhetoric that was being, you know, presented.
Yes.
You know, 3-4 months prior to election, I just felt that energy and I knew it wasn't going to be a smooth ride. So right. I really don't have a, a perspective to share in terms of like how I see, because I don't know. It's so uncertain how it's going to play out. I mean, we know, you know, President-elect Biden is going to be inaugurated and going to talk about some of the things that transpired last week that, you know, kind of made things a little uneasy. But I think we're still in that space of uneasiness because we're vulnerable. The whole country is at a vulnerable state and anything could happen. Any knucklehead, any bad decision, any, you know, fly off the rails, you know, situation could occur. So I'm just kind of sitting back and kind of seeing what happens. And hopefully things will shift in the path that's most righteous and most positive and most beneficial to all parties involved. You know what I mean? So that's what I can talk about, is just being an optimist and talking about where it should go. But to your point, I think it's always been an issue when it comes to elections and the importance of the African-American vote and the suppression thereof because of its importance.
Correct.
Because of its how it could tip either direction. Because that vote, the African-American vote, is so potent and powerful for this country. And it's always been that way. It's not nothing new. Ever since, you know, African-Americans had offered the right to vote in this country, it's been suppressed because that right is what makes things work in this country. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right.
Not even talking about black and white or race at all. The privilege and the right to vote in our U.S. Constitution is the one weapon, tool, thing that we can exercise as a people, the body, the people, to make any kind of significant change occur in this country.
Correct.
So what kind of sets me, makes me a little uneasy, or what's the word I'm looking for? Makes me a little like disappointed in our growth and evolution as a country. Right. That we still have to discuss this and we still have to deal with this in 2020. You know what I mean? After like, you know, we have all this technology. I mean, people can vote for their favorite, you know, singer on a television show in a matter of seconds, but we still have to worry about how do we count these ballots and if it's true or fraudulent. You know what I mean? Yes. So I think we have a lot of catching up to do when it comes to, getting in a place where this will not happen again. And I think maybe this is happening because it's time to look at it that way. It's time to look at it. Okay, how we change this election process, this voting process, so it's more secure, it's more stable, and it's less prone to mistakes or fraud or, you know, anything else in that matter that will make it unstable, so that way we wouldn't have a fair and just you know, political process.
Correct. I mean, all that, you know what I'm saying? That part, everything that you just said. And for me, this comes with a different layer of support because I was encouraged to speak out and talk about these things. You know, one of our supporters, whose name I won't mention, it told me that they believe that the city is ready to have these conversations now, that leadership, white leaders and black leaders, are ready to have this conversation now, where for us, you know, we have the conversations about things that pertain to us and our perspective, because we see things through an African-American perspective. So we have those conversations that everybody is not privy to or may not even understand when we're sitting around the table talking to our wives and our children about how folks can run up in the Capitol. And if that was black folks, they would have been sprayed and bodies still being hauled off. Right. I mean, we saw what happened during over the summertime with George Floyd and how the Black Lives Matter movement and just young people in general just began to protest and speak out against the racial and social injustice within our criminal justice system. And that sparked such an outrage that there were others on the opposing side of it who thought that, you know, that they had no basis to be protesting the kneeling of an officer on a black man's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Like, as if that was not enough outrage, and not enough call, justifiable cause to get people to want to speak out about that. Well, you know, rubber bullets were shot, gas was, you know, was thrown on the protesters, you know, and granted, you know, there was some rioting, there was some looting. So, you know, we're not going to absolve those individuals that were a part of something that was illegal, because that's illegal. But so is running, busting up the Capitol, you know what I mean? And running into the Congress and trying to take, you know, leaders hostage, or the threat of.
Yeah, that's, you know, destruction of property and threatening. I mean, you know,
it's the same thing.
Lives and
right.
Causing mayhem and chaos. I mean, that's exactly what it is. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But to call it something different is a smack in the face, if not even graver, you know, injustice.
To
what it really is. Call a duck
Facts.
A duck. You know what I mean?
Facts.
Like,
well, we're back to the elephant in the room.
The
room is on fire. There's an elephant in the room. He happens to be blocking the door, but nobody wants to speak to that elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to speak to what's obstructing us from being able to escape this hellhole that we're in right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think 2020 just is the year that brought everything to a head.
Yeah.
You know, and the what we do in 2021 is the pivotal moment for us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The things we change now. Everything from COVID and how people vaccines are administered to policing and relations with police in the communities to the justice system in a whole on how, you know, these police are being trained, but even in the judicial system, how these judges are being biased or being swayed by certain political aspirations or influences.
Facts.
So that all came to a head this year. And
then
culmination of it is what happened last week, where we have American citizens who believe in patriotism so much so that they're willing to fight for something in their own front yard. Not their backyard, their own front yard. They went to the nation's capital front door and broke it down and stormed it and sieged it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that kind of goes to the mindset of not only those individuals who quote unquote say what patriotism is. What is patriotism? Mm-hmm. If that's patriotism, I don't want to be a patriot.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
If patriotism means that I'm willing to harm someone else, harm property, which we all pay taxes for.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Just like, you know, looting and breaking into a shoe store to steal a bunch of sneakers is something that I don't align myself with either.
No, it don't, because it don't make sense. It don't solve not one problem in regards to what we're dealing with.
So here we are. So
yeah,
I guess the point is, like, you know, this is our moment to really turn things around, look at things and evaluate things from a perspective and a standpoint of like, okay, we're not going to do that again. We're not going down that road again. We're not going to make those mistakes.
Exactly. Well, you know, but they oftentimes say, and I've heard this mentioned several times, that unless you learn from history, you're bound to repeat it rather than pay it forward and progress with new chapters. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to kind of repeat the old chapters. And I think that's where having these conversations now, because, man, Tumani, you know me, man. I don't be wanting to talk about a whole bunch of yada yada, man. I ain't got time for all that. You know, like, just search your heart, you know, like, really search your heart of hearts, search your soul. And I know it's hard because, you know, we live in a day where cynicism just runs rampant. We talked about it in regards to voting, and we were like, you know, whatever. You know, we got here, we vote, boom, hit the button, cast the ballot. All right, yeah, fine. You know, but is it really going to make a difference? How does that really impact us, you know, at the federal level, down to the state level, down to the local level? Well, clearly we can see that the root cause of all of this is voting.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole root cause of what happened at the at DC last week. And oddly enough, I was talking to I had a meeting with Melody from the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And we were talking about some things with the Drive High Point Foundation, and shout out to them, you know, for providing some resources to help forward High Point, if you will. But, we had just we were on the phone. We had a teleconference meeting at 11 o'clock. We were on the phone probably from 11 to 12:15. She was just kind of trying to catch up on what we were doing. I was catching up on what was going on the CBB side. She was encouraging me, making some recommendations about some things to consider moving forward. And we got off the phone, say maybe a little after 12. And then about an hour later, we start seeing these news flashes come on about a rally held in D.C., protesters marching to the Capitol, protesters storming the Capitol lawn. And then say about 2 o'clock, protesters entering into the building. So I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like what I'm witnessing here is something that, I've never experienced in my lifetime. I've never seen anything like that in my lifetime. And you know how we are, like we said, cynical as we can be, man, if there were black folks running up in there, boy, you already know when you wouldn't even got on the lawn, much less to the steps.
Yeah.
You know how we think it.
Yeah.
But all of that to say, when you drill down into the root cause of what really happened, it was people's fears got stoked so bad that they could not bring themselves to terms based on the fact that there was a huge turnout among the African-American population and minority voters as well that showed up and spoke out. And like you said, they exercised that one piece of, clout that they got, the one ounce of clout that everybody has in this country. If you're registered, if you're an American citizen here in this country, the one piece of clout that you got that you can exercise every time is the right to vote.
Yeah. One piece of power. That's the only power we have.
The one piece of power. That's right. The one piece of power that you have. And for all the things that we saw with Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, I can go Ahmaud Arbery. I can list them. You know what I mean? If you really want me to,
it'd be a long, too much long of a podcast.
You already know.
Part two, three, or four for that one, right?
You know what I'm saying? So, but I mean, people are ready to have these conversations now. So let's have at it. You look at all the things that went on in 2020 and what bubbled over that led people to the ballot box. Was people would think, black people said, We have the capacity and the ability to change the outcome of this election if we show up. Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing I can say is if it wasn't that important, people wouldn't have got killed over it. There wouldn't be suppressive tactics to keep folks from showing up. And we wouldn't have seen the episode that we saw in DC if people hadn't shown up. Because that was the basis of what this whole fraudulent election was about.
Yep. Yeah. The numbers.
It was all about the numbers. Mm-hmm. It was all about the numbers. It was ain't no way in the world that many people showed up and they voted credibly and legitimately. Mm-hmm. Ain't no way in the world that I lost this election, at the hands of this, old man. And this African-American woman who didn't have as many rallies as me, or who didn't have as much money as me, or didn't, have as much open support as me. And that's the thing.
There's the elephant.
We're here.
I think what it is just like, I think when it comes to the messages in the media that's being presented, right, because it's so divisive.
Right.
And it's so polarizing and just so like rallying people up, and that's where the fear is inside.
That's right.
Once people can have an idea planted and there's an inception of that idea is put in someone's mind,
and
the majority of it is fear based.
Yeah,
that's a recipe for destruction right there.
Using the example that you gave earlier, unless we address the elephant in the room, we're not going to move forward. The elephant is obstructing us from being able to move forward. So until we get that out of the way, we're not going to be able to move forward. What am I trying to say? Just translating that into something that we can all process. Until we get ourselves out of the way, which means our selfishness, our fears, our own individual, you know, inhibitions that's, you know, preventing us from taking on a different, you know, or at least embracing a different perspective, looking at new perspectives. It doesn't necessarily mean we have to agree on everything, but we do have to come to this level of respect.
Mm-hmm.
I need what I need. You need what you need. They need what they need. So we can at least respect that.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't got to go, you know, holding hands, skipping through the tulips, you know, out there, you know, in the Rose Garden. We ain't got to do none of that. We don't have to sing Kumbaya in church every Sunday morning. We ain't got to do none of that.
Mm-hmm.
When we have opportunities to come together and be a part of a process that speaks to all free men and women in this country, then that right there is something that we can all agree to, even if we disagree on who we like.
Yeah.
It don't matter, because yeah, that's not going to take away from the respect that I have for you as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes back to what I was saying about the three-fifths thing. If that's a mentality and you don't really see African-Americans, men and women, as first-class citizens in a country that they helped fight to create the independence for, then that says to me, you have not evolved to the point where you can see me beyond just this criteria right here.
Yeah.
So again, tell me, what's the other two-fifths? Is it one-fifth animal, one-fifth, you know, trick in a dog and pony show, and three-fifths human? Like, what is it? Tell me what it is. What is it that stokes so much fear in you that makes you think that I'm less than a person that is deserving of the equal and protective rights of the United States Constitution?
The other two-fifths is what's exploited. It's what's exploited, because that's where the profit is. That's where the money is. That's where the control is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to give you something, I'm like, yeah, come over, Brian, come over to my house and eat. Yeah, I got made a cooked nice meal for you. You know what I'm saying? I got steak, and I got chicken, I got shrimp, I got mashed potatoes and collard greens and mac and cheese, the whole spread. I got my plate filled up, and I only put a couple of mashed potatoes on your plate and some green peas. And you see me see me eating all this good food and everything. You're like, well, where's mine? Like, I want some chicken and steak. What's going on? Like, nah, I cooked this specifically for me. This is mine. You know, I want you to be in here and enjoy to break bread with me, but this is as much you deserve. This is only that we're going to offer you. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I guess the metaphor that I'm trying to make is the fact that the African-American has contributed so much to this country, has given so much to this country, but we're only have been allotted and allowed to enjoy pieces of it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And the pieces that we don't enjoy is because somebody else is eating that meal. They're eating and getting fat on the things that we would have to, we would be privileged to share in.
You know, to make us whole, right? To make us whole.
You know what I mean? It's like, so it's like this mindset and mentality of like, well, we can't give them everything, and we can't give, and it goes, it's not even beyond, it's beyond black and white, because it's rich versus poor. You know what I mean? Man. It's like, we got to have poverty in this country, and there's got to be poor people in this country, so the rich folks can still be on their boat and their yacht and go to their parties and drink their champagne and blow money out the window and still be in power. You know what I mean? If you level the playing field and everybody can eat and everybody can have the $2,000 stimulus check and be good and be first online when it comes to vaccinations and get all the privileges that we are, should be afforded as Americans, then it's just going to throw an imbalance to the system. It's going to throw a balance to capitalism. It's going to throw an imbalance to democracy, because it just wasn't set up that way. You know, you always had aristocrats and rich folks that, you know, said, okay, we can give them a little bit. You know, we can see that they're happy with their mashed potatoes and peas, but we're going over here and we're going to get full and fat on this, you know, this great feast that we're having. You know what I mean? And they'll be happy. They'll be happy. Yeah, they may protest. They may break a few windows and glasses and we'll lock them up. But at the end of the day, we can still continue to eat and be fat and be healthy and be fine.
Mm.
And I think that game is being slowly, that house of cards is slowly falling down. And that 2020 was that year that it fell. You know what I mean? So we can't go into 2021 and looking like, oh, well, you know, we're going to be satisfied with our peas and our mashed potatoes. Now we want that chicken. We want that steak. We want that shrimp. We want everything that you eating.
You know, and we want all that excess
because we deserve it.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly. And I'm glad you said that, man, because, you know, there is a certain narrative that's presented, a certain perception, you know, about us as African-American people that, you know, we don't work hard. You know, we don't take care of our families. We don't stay together. And of course, we understand that, you know, in terms of systemic racism, that is a real thing. That's a real tangible thing. It goes back to the Reconstruction era between 1861 and I think 1876, if I'm not mistaken. It was like 15 years where Black people really made a lot of progress in this country post-Civil War. And it was coming to the point where governments were starting to swing more towards the Republican side of the political field, which at that time was anti-slavery. They were, you know, abolitionist groups and things like that, that were more on the Republican side. So that was when basically the parties were flipped. Mm-hmm. You know, and there was a huge movement, a huge window of opportunity for Black people. Once emancipation hit, the 13th and 14th Amendment, you know, became a law added to the Constitution. And, you know, there was an economic thrust, you know, for African Americans, right? And then from 1877, I think was a compromise of 1876, I believe. But anyway, from 1877 on up until like civil rights, there was almost 100 years of redlining and Jim Crow and segregation. And that's when the system of racism really, you know, hit its height, when institutions became tools to get people, you know, entrapped or enslaved, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's a long time. That's a long time to be held back. You know, even prior to that, prior to the Civil War, that, you know, there were years, you know, leading up to that, from the time that Africans were brought to this country. But from the Revolutionary War all the way up to, you know, through the War of 1812, to the Civil War, to the Reconstruction era, to the Civil Rights era, to, you know, first African-American president to be elected, to where we are now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there have been obstructionists that have played on the fears of men and women, Black and white, as if letting us have, excuse me, I don't even want to say letting us have, because I don't want you to let me have nothing. Giving me what I deserve. There's been a certain type of narrative that makes people feel, who are obstructionists to, you know, to progress, that makes them feel like if me having what's rightfully mine is a threat to them because of how they see me as an individual, then that just says something about your heart and your mind that needs to be renewed and needs to be challenged. And I can only like really give that over to God and ask that He illuminate you and help you see things from a different perspective, primarily from His perspective.
Yeah.
You know, because when we start talking about healing, you know, we're talking about, and we're talking about reconciliation. We're talking about, you know, some inward things that have to be dealt with that can only be spoken to by the power of God in my, you know, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, we going on into it, man. And I'm trying not to get too, I'm not trying to get off on a tangent, man, because it's the first one and this is a hot one for 2021. So, man, make sure this sound good. Make sure I ain't sounding crazy when I get out here, because I don't want to come off like I'm an angry Black man, but I'm mad as hell, man. I'm mad at this foolishness. I'm mad at this, like, this stupidity, these. This ignorant way of thinking that is affecting the money and how we move forward progressively as a country and as people, individuals in our community, not just at the federal level, but down here at the local level. Seas of division, a house divided.
Yeah.
That's what it has come down to, a house being divided. And it started right. And what we saw on January, I'll never, what was it? January the 6th, 2021. Right. So a week from, a week from the taping of this of this podcast, January 6th, 2021 is a day that will never be forgotten in American history, because that was the day that the president of the United States instigated a riot to create an insurrection at the Capitol building of the United States of America. That day will never be forgotten. It will always be stapled in American history as a sad day, but it should be a day that we learn from and that we ensure we don't repeat ever again.
Yeah. What I like to know, though, and just to go back, I would like to look at some of those people. I would like to interview these people. And I guess it goes back to the propaganda and the media messages that they're consuming, because when you hear, like, what really drives a person to do something like that? And I know it's, you know, it's mob mentality, and the first person that's brave enough to go and throw the rock, five other people are going to pick up the rock because they the first one threw it. Like, okay, well, I'm if he threw it, I'm gonna throw it. You know what I mean? That mob mentality. But where does it come from to even gather in the first place? Like, I mean, I know, you know, the president, of course, said a few things that got people excited and riled up and, you know, provoked the situation. But where does the morality of what's right, fair, proper, where does that fit in the mindset? You know what I mean? Because obviously it's, no pun intended, trumped by some other ideology, some other mindset, and some other focus that these people believe in wholeheartedly. And they're willing to fight, they're willing to die, and they're willing to sacrifice their freedom for.
Mm-hmm.
Running into a national building and taking it over and looting and breaking stuff and looking for certain people so that you can do God knows what,
mm-hmm.
It takes up a lot of courage to if in my mindset, I mean, if I was standing out there, even if I was just happened to be walking by and somebody said, yeah, we're going to go do this, I'm like, well, why? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just going to be like, okay, is you sure that's a right, good idea? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Mm-hmm. So my question is, and I don't think I'll get the answer for this no time soon. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What drives people to be the ideology of being what it takes to be a patriot? You know what I mean? Because people throw that word around like it's water, like it's air. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, I'm a patriot. And then their values don't align with being a patriot.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? Their actions don't align with patriotism. You know what I mean?
That's a good question, man. I mean, because, you know, you're talking about what's down in a person's heart.
Mm.
That's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Like, what's in a person that drives them to believe that that's what it is, that that's what patriotism looks like, when clearly that was the most non-patriotic, treasonous, seditionist thing that you can ever witness in your lifetime,
mm-hmm.
you know, aside from secession. During the Civil War, when the Confederate and the Union, you know, kind of, you know, bumped heads, that right there was the most, the highest form of treason that you can ever witness. So for people to think that they were doing God's speed or doing God's bidding and stoking fear in people, that does lead you to ask what's going on with that person mentally and spiritually.
Mm.
Because, you know, we talk about making a more perfect union and one nation under God, you know, these sacred and moral values that we hold near and dear is the reason why, like the idea of this being a land where people can come, make their money, take care of their families, celebrate, you know, their religion, whatever it is that they do, you know, be free, you know, be free to, even to say what you want to say. But even now, we know that that has repercussions, because you can stoke the fears of people and cause them to do certain things that can, incite a riot. And now those words that you projected, you're going to be held accountable to. You know, by your words, you're going to be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. That's in the scriptures. So, even that, like, freedom has responsibility. There is no freedom without responsibility. You know what I mean? Freedom without responsibility turns into anarchy, and people just start doing what they want to do with no recourse or no repercussions or no consequences to go along with their actions. So we're not talking about that type of freedom. We're talking about freedom with limits, because we do have to have governance. Mm-hmm. And for people to think that they can, like, have no rules, to me, that just says that there are that there are positive forces out there that's driving for the greater good, that there are negative forces out there that's coming to seek and destroy. Mm-hmm. And it just tells me that we have gotten off track with the things that we deem as important and what's really most valuable to us as people. And for me, it's, my family being good, my family being healthy, and my neighbors beside me, and my neighborhood, and the people that I associate with, my Black colleagues, my white colleagues, those people that I know to be, like, genuinely good people. I want to see people successful. I don't want to see people fail. I don't want to see people struggle. I don't know why that's so difficult for other people. Maybe they need to go to God and ask for some healing, because to me, that says something about, like, your inner being that ain't quite right. Mm-hmm. And some of these things are taught too. So that's why, like, you have to become educated. You have to talk about things. You have to teach our kids what's right. Matter of fact, before we get ready to go off, I've been reading this right here. This is pretty good, man. This is a newspaper. Mm-hmm. And this thing started, the Black Chronicle, from the slavery era, 1778, to the beginning of the Civil Rights Movement, 1956. And we got it in Atlanta. We took it during spring break. We went to the MLK house, and we just went to go to the museum and went to go visit down there while we were in Atlanta for spring break. And it's interesting, man, that this right here, the Black Chronicle, is a compilation of new articles documenting the evolution of Blacks from the slave ships to the battlefields of the 20th century.
Oh, wow.
Compiled by the late historian Henry Hampton from articles culled from over two dozen African-American newspapers, these Black Chronicles provide a most revealing and insightful panorama of the events which shaped the Black experience in America.
Wow.
And last thing is, reading this Black perspective of events makes much of the traditional pap handed down to Blacks by white miseducators seem more like a bizarre perversion of reality from an alternative universe.
Wow. Huh. And yeah, that should be distributed.
You feel me?
That should be distributed to the masses. Everybody you should be able to.
You feel wow. me? right. High court approves race separation. You feel me? And this article right here, and this was June 1, 1896.
Yeah.
So it's the things that we've been sweeping under the rug for so long that are now starting to become revealed. And that's truth. And I quote this from Frederick Douglass. And T, shut me off when we got to go. But this is from Frederick Douglass, from the North Star masthead. He said, "Right is of no sex. Truth is of no color. God is the father of us all. And we are all brethren."
Yeah. Wow.
Right is of no sex. Truth is of no color. God is the father of us all. And we are all brethren. So then how do you get down to the truth? Well, truth is backed up by fruit. And I know Jesus said, "You'll know them by their fruit."
Mm-hmm.
A tree is known by its fruit. So if you want to talk about what's right and what's truth and what's just, it'll be backed by the fruit that it bears.
Yeah.
An apple tree is known by its apples. You're not going to see oranges on an apple tree, else it wouldn't be an apple tree.
Right. Right.
So you'll know the truth by the fruit that it bears.
Man, I got to get that, the Black Chronicle, man. How do I get my hands on something like that?
Oh, man, we're going to make that available. Yeah, I got it from the museum, but I'm gonna look them up and I'm gonna make a phone call and see if they can send me maybe like about five copies of this
Yeah.
because I do want to get it into the hands of some people just so we can become a little more informed.
Sure.
You
That,
know?
that's the whole point.
Yeah. Ignorance is bliss. So it's like we don't want to be ignorant moving forward. We want to be aware. And like I said, it's just same thing with Washington Street, right? And we haven't talked about that, but you know, same thing with Washington Street. You know, a lot of people don't know the history of Washington Street, so it becomes easy to say, well, let's knock a building down when you don't understand its value and history to the city, not just to the African American community, but to the city as a whole during a time where we just said the High Court of the Land just, you know, said that segregation was okay. So if that's the case, then and black people don't have a public park to go to, or they don't have a place where they can go do business and you know, have trade and commerce, then we have to create an infrastructure of our own.
Right.
And that's what they did on Washington Street, was they created infrastructure of their own, something that they can say, you know, that was compliant with the rules and with the and laws of the land at that time.
Yes.
Right? That's what the law was. So we abided by the law and we held to the principles that were underwritten within the law. And we moved forward progressively to ensure that there was safety and that there was education. And that there was money and economics within our community. This was a contribution to the community at large.
I mean, it goes back to my point of how the African American has always been the pillar of democracy in this country, because we knew
Yes.
our right. We know our rights. We know what we're going to get and what we deserve. We know how to go
We
and
know we
get
can't run up in that Capitol. I know
it.
that for a
Yeah,
fact.
for sure. For sure. But you know, we have rights to say, okay, well, as much knees and feet that's been on the necks of African Americans, we still figured it out on how we can succeed and create our own wealth and create our own communities and create our own establishments, even with all the opposition and all the pullback and all the blockage from other parties that said those folks can't win. You know what I mean? Those folks don't count. Those folks are only represent a certain minority to the point where, you know, just whatever they get, they only going to get what they deserve.
Right, that
Just
three-fifths
get
mark,
that three.
right.
Yeah, right. So, I guess my point is, like, we've been doing it and we got to continue to do it. I think now the important part of it in what we're doing with this initiative and you, Brian, with TMG and, you know, restoring, telling these stories that's based in history that haven't been told before, you know, presenting these narratives that it's been here all along, but the youth doesn't know it. The youth is not attached to it because we're so far removed and the media is so polarizing and so divisive. As a young person, they're going to be like, well, I don't have time for that. That's not doing me any good. I'm just going to go on TikTok or Instagram. You know what I mean? But we don't grow. There's still a fire. The building's still on fire and the elephant is still in the room. You know what I mean?
Facts.
So I guess
Facts.
once we start presenting these historical narratives that have never been told and make the connections to where we are today and how it got us to this point, based on that history that hasn't been told, we can start looking at things differently to say, okay, we need to do things differently. We need to
Correct.
move differently. We need to focus our energies on something that's going to push us forward, not pull us back or keep us stagnant.
Indeed. That's a good take, man. That's a good take. And I think that's where we can maybe leave it for now is picking up and having more conversation about this. Because I will say that and shout out to the city of High Point, particularly the inspector, a director of the inspection division, for giving us a stay of the 621 Arcade Building on Washington Street. And shout out to Wilbur Holden and Holden Building Company and the engineers that came out to take a look at the building. The consensus is that the building can be saved, but it's an historical building. And you know, those types of buildings are old, which means they're going to cost more to upkeep and maintenance. Right now the property belongs to the city of High Point and it was set to be demolished. But you know, raise my hand And I got an email from my man Cyril, who said that who just put the community on alert, raised my hand and said, "Hey man, do we have to do this? Mm-hmm. You know, can we come up with an alternative or something like that? Figure out a way to, you know, to flip this building and celebrate the historical, you know, prowess that it has in the community, the history that it has with the community." So, you know, they gave me an opportunity to, you know, to produce some takeaways for us. And we were able to get some people out there to take a look at the building. Tumani, you got some of the footage when I went in there. So hopefully, you know, we'll be able to, you know, interject that in the moments to come. But bottom line is, you know, we were given a 60-day stay to come up with a plan. And my plan is to convert this this space into a multimedia studio, a multimedia and gaming studio, as well as, you know, set up an office, you know, for me and you and the Historical Preservation Society, you know, a place where we can celebrate the history and promote future economic growth, you know, on Washington Street. We know that gaming is a very popular thing among the youth. Hypo University has a population of students right around the corner that they come to Washington Street, but they don't understand the culture and the history behind Washington Street. So we want to give them an education lesson. We want to promote this. We want to teach. We want to open up occupational and vocational learning through developing skills in media, helping stage an event. You know what I mean? All those types of things, man, that can lead to a career path opportunities for our youth and have a place for them to come and celebrate the history of Washington Street and the other opportunities that are forthcoming. So that's what we're doing, man. You know, we're celebrating all the things that make us who we are. Mm-hmm. And if everybody brings something to the table, that means the feast can be great. But if everybody's trying to take away from the next man, then that means it's going to be scarce. And, you know, and at a minimum, you know, you're going to have contention because people are going to feel like you're not doing them right. Mm-hmm. And that's where we got to start thinking about, you know, what doing what's right because it's right, mm-hmm. and doing it right. Right. And the numbers don't lie. You know, we're much better together than we are separate.
Yes.
But like I said, being together doesn't mean we got to go to church every Sunday and sing Kumbaya either. It just means we got to come to terms and agree on what's fair and what's equitable to you and me as human beings. Yeah. So, man, yo, I hope I didn't mess that up.
No, not at all. No. And I think you kind of shifted into talking about Washington Street and what's going on there. But I think we should dedicate a little bit more time to that in the next episode.
I agree with that, man. I think this is a good way to break in 2021 with our first episode, talking about something as critical as, you know, race relations in America. Like, you know, that's a tough subject to tackle, you know, on any front. But it's the elephant in the room. It's the thing that we need to talk about, and we can't be afraid to talk about it. So, again, I don't want to make anybody feel, you know, weird or anything like that. But, you know, I feel some kind of way just being able, you know, expressing myself without, you know, sounding like I'm, you know, mad at the world. I'm just mad at the devil because I know that's a spirit, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just kind of more so from attacking it from a spiritual vein. But moving forward, I think we should definitely drill down into the community and talk about how what we saw on a federal level being the macrocosm of things, how it drills down to the microcosm of where we are in the community and start talking about how we heal and mend our community. That will move us forward in a much more progressive way.
I agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Man, T, it's always good pulling up with you, man. And yes, sir. I appreciate you being patient with me. The 2 months that we took off, I think were great. My, how we're still right here where we were talking about some of the same things in 2020, but the platform that we have is much more solid and the audience is ready.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, backed by popular demand.
Well, I look forward to talking about some of the fun stuff, the music and the entertainment and the art and
sure.
You know, the positivity that's going on in the community and the new businesses that are being open and the entrepreneurs that are out there doing things and the youth that's doing things. That's really so like that's where I aspire to this podcast to go. You know Absolutely. What I mean? Like, I think we definitely have to talk about the hard issues and the issues that really affect us so we can clean things up.
For sure.
Invite everybody over and have a great feast and enjoy
for
ourselves.
For sure. There it is. You got to clean up. You got to clean up the crib, man, before you invite company over.
I mean, yeah. Exactly.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we're going to be in cleanup mode, and then we're going to be in celebration mode, and we're going to put on. It's going to be a big celebration for the city. And, you know, just real thankful, man, to all those that have given us an opportunity to speak to them and speak to them in a way, you know, where it's non-offensive. You know, we just want to communicate an articulate message and let people know where we're coming from, man. We love our city. We love the people in the city. And we believe our best days are still ahead of us, man. So let's get this work, bro.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, man. So happy New Year to everybody, man. It's still January, so I think that's still relative. It's the Homegrown Community Podcast brought to you by TMG, FX Media, and Action Graphics. My name is Bourne, Brian Strickland. This is my man, Tumani Johnson, T-Money.